Welcome everyone to the Love Evolve podcast. This is Leanne Lopinto. I am a psychologist, a relationship coach, and a breathwork teacher based in Los Angeles, and I work with people both one-on-one and in groups. My work is really centered around relationships, and so really healing relational wounds to be able to step into this next level of relationships that are really becoming available to us right now. And so I focus on highly conscious relationships and also spiritual partnership. But before we can get there, we really need to have a strong and solid foundation of healthy relationship skills. And so that usually involves going back and healing core wounds, moving towards secure attachment, really healing self-love and self-worth, learning about boundaries, open, honest communication. These are all of the things that I work on with clients and in groups. And then moving up to learning about healthy, conscious relationship principles and how to work with relationships to help us to heal and grow and evolve together in partnership. And then moving up into high levels of spiritual partnership. And so that is the work that I am so passionate about. This podcast is a good place to start. You can also go to my website. If you're interested and you need support one-on-one, please just feel free to book a free 30-minute call with me. We typically go pretty deep, even though it's a short call. I give you as much support as possible, and then I will send you resources over email afterwards. And it's an opportunity for you to get to know me better, see if we're a good fit for working together. And I just love to meet new people. So I invite everyone to do that. The link is in the show notes. Okay, I'm really excited to share episode 35 with you because this is going to be a really important episode where I speak about sexuality and how we have to remember that our sexuality is actually shaped and molded and conditioned and programmed by the external world, just like we are. And so just like we, many of us, go through this process of really peeling back the layers of the false self to get who we truly and authentically are. You know, this is embedded in so much of the work that I do. And we have to just realize that the same applies to our sexuality. And so just as we sort of form this persona with all of the masks that we wear in life, that we then have to wake up and understand that, oh my gosh, this isn't really who I truly am at a soul level. The same thing happens with our sexuality. And so we develop a sexual persona that has been shaped and molded as a result of programming, conditioning, trauma, all of the stuff similarly that happens to us on a larger level. The same thing happens to our sexuality. And so I wrote an article on Substack called Sexual Sovereignty, which is all about reclaiming our authentic sexual expression. It's very, very important. It's a very in-depth article that goes way, way deeper than I'm able to go during this podcast episode. But I wanted to just make this more conversational and just give you a taste of what some of this work is. And so it's really important for all of us, just as we do the inner work, to get back to the truth of who we really are, which is really aligned with our true self, as Carl Jung would say, this path of individuation and just coming into full authenticity, our true essence in this world, where from that place, all sorts of miraculous things happen because then you're aligned, right? Then you're aligned with divine will. Then you're aligned with your higher self. You've peeled back all of the layers and the masks. You've done heavy lifting with shadow work. You've done all of this, you know, integration to become whole, as, you know, I speak about so often, Carl Jung's path of individuation, path of doing shadow work, and even animus integration. It gets you aligned with that true self, right? And so you can do the same thing with sexuality. Now, some of this happens naturally as you do the larger work. So some of it does happen naturally. But I have found that many people, myself included, have to actually go back and do kind of like another level of that same work on sexuality in particular. So I hope this episode just gives you a little bit of a taste of this work. And again, I'm going to link the link to the Substack article because it goes way in depth in addition to really walking you through how you can start to do this work on a practical level, how you can start to peel back the layers to get in touch with the truth of your sexuality. And I believe that this is all our birthright, really. This is something that now more than ever, we are being programmed and conditioned at a heavy, heavy rate. And I just want to get to the truth of who I really am. And I know a lot of you do as well. And so it's a reclamation of our true essence when it comes to sexuality. So I hope you find this useful. And as always, reach out to me with any comments or questions. I also work directly with people one-on-one to help them do some of this work. And so if you need support, just reach out. So this is going to be a really important episode, but I also want to make it just kind of as accessible as possible and maybe just, you know, not even necessarily super heavy or anything like that. And just really getting curious about this idea that just like we are shaped and molded by the external world through conditioning, you know, since day one, since we were brought into this planet, we are conditioned, shaped, molded by the external world, right? We receive teachings and belief systems from our parents, from our family, from our school systems, from our religious institutions, from society at large, in addition to all of the personal hard stuff that we go through, any sort of trauma. All of this really shapes us into who we are today, right? And so a lot of this stuff lives in the unconscious. And so when people talk about shadow work, it's really about really getting curious to see what's actually kind of running the show. You know, with the beautiful image of the iceberg that is so often pulled up when people teach about, well, what's the difference between the conscious and the unconscious, and how the conscious level of awareness is really just the tip of the iceberg. And there's this vast world underneath the surface, this gigantic, you know, portion of the iceberg that is under the water that can't be seen. This really is the unconscious, and that's what's really directing your life. You know, the quote from Carl Jung that is so often quoted is, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate. And so it's really so interesting to live in these times right now, because we're in this era of collective shadow work, many of us. Some of us know what's going on and we're actually like kind of opting in, right? Like we're like, okay, we're doing shadow work. And then there's other people who aren't quite aware of what's going on. And so different levels of consciousness, it's all good. But, you know, I really do see that collectively we're in this massive era of shadow work right now. And so when it comes to sexuality in particular, there's a lot of darkness right now. And, you know, so it's just this time that I see where rather than getting curious about what's under the surface, about unconscious drivers of our sexuality, instead what I see is just, it's kind of like this anything goes kind of debaucherous celebration of just everything, kind of all urges running wild without questioning or really caring about where some of these impulses came from. And so it's just really interesting to kind of watch all of this. And so I understand that there's like this collective process happening where, especially when it comes to sexuality, some people really do need to kind of throw off the reins and just explore. And I think many people have to go through that stage, and it's fine. I know I did in my younger years. And I also have seen problems occur for people that maybe don't get a chance to do this when they're younger. And it leads to just this kind of internal feeling where they need to just explore it. Some people kind of think that they need to get it out of their system, but there's something there that's kind of like this unease, right? Especially before really settling down and like making a commitment, especially in romantic partnerships. So it's just very interesting, because I see that collectively we're kind of in this age right now, right? And it's also really not, it's not okay to judge other people. It's not okay to shame anybody. And so it's this moral relativism that is really just kind of like making everything acceptable to kind of the extreme. And it's just, it's really such an interesting time. And so like on my days where I'm able to see the higher perspective, I really do think that, you know, just as we're kind of collectively in a lot of shadow work right now, just in general, I do think that this, what we're navigating right now with regards to sexuality is probably part of that. And I have faith that we're going to come up and out of it. But you know, it's also really interesting because, you know, I think that we need to be aware of, once you become aware of like how heavy the programming is, and in my lifetime, I feel like it's never been more intense, you know, the external feedback coming in, shaping sexuality, having an influence on sexuality. And so I'm 45 now, just to give context, it really has never been so turned up right now. And so I think it's really just about like, just kind of waking up to the fact that, yeah, like there's a lot of external influences that are attempting, many of them on purpose, to kind of alter us in a certain way. And, you know, we don't have to opt into this. I think step one is really just to realize what's going on and then to get very discerning with what you choose to allow in. And, you know, this can be as simple as just like being very, very particular with the kind of stuff that you follow on social media, even the sheer number of accounts. Like nobody needs to be following, you know, 4,000 accounts. Like this is a really good opportunity to just get very, very selective, right? And so, of course, I guess you could say before you're able to get selective, you need to just like push the pause button just in general with your life and just start to get really, really clear on like, what are your values, right? What are you here for? What is the bigger thing, right, that you want to experience and allow to work through you in this life? And so I get it. You know, some people don't know, they're not connected to that thing, and they're just searching and they're just consuming. And there's so many addictions right now that people are just kind of trying to fill these massive voids inside of them. And it's really sad. It's very, very sad to watch. And so with sexuality, it's just getting curious to be like, wow, okay, how has my sexuality been shaped and molded? And of course, you can look starting from your childhood. You can also, I think it's really helpful to start to think about when you first started to become sexually active, and just like think about how has your sexual life progressed over the course of your life, and just, you know, really getting sort of even like journaling about it. Like, what is my sexual history? How has it been for me? Especially focusing on kind of like these first initial encounters, because that's where a lot of the templates are kind of laid in terms of just things that start to become ways of being. You know, they always start with like the first initial experiences. Of course, you can start even earlier with thinking about like, what were your family beliefs about sexuality? Was there any sexual trauma when you were younger? Like all of this stuff. And so only you really know the answer to all this. And so you can spend some time and really start to journal about this, start to think about all of this. So you can start to do some of this work on your own and really, you know, get the ball rolling there if you haven't really done deep work in this area. And even that for some people can take a lot of courage to be able to look at their own stuff with clear eyes, especially if there's any history of trauma and you haven't really, you haven't really faced that yet. I know in my own life, it took a lot of inner work in other areas before I was able to face my own sexual trauma from childhood. And so that came much later. And I did have to build up the resilience and the courage to be able to face that. And that was gained through me doing work before I was able to get to that place. And it built a certain level of strength and resilience and just inner trust of like, yeah, I can really get through anything. And so sometimes that's what it takes to be able to get to some of these more sensitive areas. So just, you know, give yourself that grace and compassion. And if there is a lot of sexual trauma or even just, you know, like a little bit, it's best to work with a professional. I'm here if you need someone to talk to, if you need support, you know, you can just book a free 30-minute call with me and I can send you a lot of resources and we'll just see if you're ready to dive into this. And, you know, I work with great care and compassion with people, but, you know, sexual trauma is something where it really has a very, very negative impact on our sexuality in so many different ways. And so the more that we can really heal on a deep, deep level, anything like that that we have in our history, it's such liberation. You know, it's such liberation. And so this is just one example of how trauma and unhealed trauma that's just kind of lingering in your unconscious can have an impact on your current day sexuality. I'm sure many of you listening know, you know, are nodding your heads and know exactly what I'm talking about. And so, you know, that's just one piece of it. For people that maybe don't really have a history of sexual trauma, there's definitely still a lot of deprogramming and deconditioning that you can do to get to your authentic sexuality. And so this looks different for everybody. And, you know, what I'll say right now in our culture, it's so interesting because I think, you know, obviously we've moved away from this idea that sexuality is shameful. The pendulum swing has gone really like pretty extremely in the other direction. And sexuality is incredible. It's a huge part of my life. You know, I've done so much healing and I've also gotten a lot more mature with where I stand. And I feel like right now we're living in a culture that is that's just really over-sexualized and it's having an impact, intentionally or unintentionally, I would say intentionally, starting very, very, very early on our children. And as a mother, this just really is not okay with me. So there's just a lot there and we can't be doing this to our children. We need to, you know, protect, age appropriate child development and not have, adults sort of agendas coming in and trying to really, you know, corrupt our children. It's just not appropriate. And children need to be really protected to have their childhood, right? And so sexuality, as it naturally develops in the teenage years, is an appropriate time to start to really talk about this stuff with your children. But before that, you know, there's obviously, this is a big topic and, you know, every parent has to make their own decisions here, but as much as possible, really try to protect your children, especially if they're younger than, they haven't hit puberty yet. Just really try to kind of keep them protected from all of this. There's so much noise out there. And especially with all of the gender stuff and what, you know, children are being told about, this normalization of being born in the wrong body. This is really disturbing to me on many levels because just the normalization of that is really, for me, it's anti-God. And I'm not into organized religion. I always have to kind of make that disclaimer, but I have a very strong direct connection with God and the higher thing. And, you know, I have complete and utter faith and trust in God and do not believe that anybody has been born into the wrong body. And if people are having some of these thoughts and these beliefs, number one, you're living in a culture right now that is absolutely supporting you into believing that that's true, celebrating you. And all of a sudden giving you a lot of attention to, really kind of prop up that belief, and nobody's really looking underneath the surface at different trauma, different programming, and different reasons why this might be occurring. And people are just kind of automatically jumping to affirming, you know, a person's belief that maybe they're born into the wrong body, and yeah, just really jumping straight into medical interventions, surgical interventions, and nobody's taking a moment to actually consider, you know, from a psycho-spiritual level, like what might be going on here. And although I really have so much to say about the larger field of psychology, and I'm not on board with some of the things that are happening, what I will say is that the APA put out a white paper on working with transgender individuals, and they really, you know, I've said this before, but in the white paper, although this is not happening on a larger scale, they really suggest that best practice is to do an assessment before somebody, you know, resorts to, irreversible medical changes. And yet this is really not being done, right? It's just people are just completely skipping over that. And so, you know, the gender stuff is kind of definitely one way, one major way right now that our sexuality is being programmed from the external. And, you know, it's just absolutely wild for me to see. I never thought in a million years that I would be living in a world like this today. And so that's just one aspect of it. And, you know, it's also fascinating for me as somebody who in my younger years was like very, very progressive, very, very, very left and liberal, and was myself really living kind of an unhinged life in many ways in my younger years. And that's all good because I had to just explore. And it's fine. But, you know, it's not like I am anti, you know, gay people or anything like that. Like I have a lot of love and compassion for people who, you know, just have been born with different wiring there. And like, that's all good. And it's really fascinating to me to see, you know, the folks in the gay community that are actually speaking out against a lot of the transgender, trends that are happening nowadays. And so, you know, it's really fascinating. I don't have any hatred towards anybody that is wanting to make their own choices, using their own free will as adults. Like people can literally do whatever they want. But, you know, I just am really with this episode trying to encourage people to just get a little bit more curious about what might be going on underneath the surface. And so again, just to zoom out, like kind of on the broader thing beyond sexuality, you know, this, once you kind of do a lot of the shadow work to actually look at some of this stuff in your unconscious that is shaping you, wow, there's a lot of things that you think are like actually you that never were really you to begin with, you know? And so like, I think it takes a certain amount of experience of doing some of this work of shadow work, turning towards the unconscious, really like questioning, you know, who am I truly? And you know, the path of Carl Jung from the false self to the true self is a path that I believe everybody is destined to go down, whether they're on it now or not. Like, I just feel like this is kind of where everybody's headed. And, you know, because that's my belief system as humans born into this lifetime, your soul has certain lessons that it needs to learn in order to grow and evolve. And you know, that soul evolution over time is headed towards self-actualization and union with the divine ultimately. And so it's a journey and it's a path, but you know, it's just so fascinating on so many levels to see this happening collectively. So let me just pause and look at my notes. I do have some more things I want to talk about. Okay, so I mean, with this collective kind of, you know, throwing off the reins and really like embracing sexuality and like there's no shame, all this stuff, there's been positive aspects to it for sure. And there's also been negative aspects to it as well. And so, you know, I feel like some of these, you know, higher collective forces that maybe do not have our best interest in mind are kind of taking advantage of this sort of collective process happening. And so they're kind of taking advantage of this collective urge to just, you know, go wild sexually. And also with relationships, you know, in terms of just like open relationships, polyamory, all of this stuff is like now very normalized, which is, again, it's so wild to me. I never in a million years thought that we would be here. It's just, it's fascinating. And so, you know, it's been spoken about in a lot of, especially the esoteric spiritual traditions, that, you know, it's been known for so long that an easy way to control people is to hijack their sexuality. Sexuality is so powerful and so potent that if the powers that be can somehow hijack it and, you know, really use it to distract people, then this is a great way to just create addictions. And oh my gosh, when it comes to pornography addictions and sex addictions, these things are literally, it's through the roof right now. And like you would say on some level, like, of course they are, because with pornography just accessible for free with the touch of a button for literally anyone, right? Including our poor children are being exposed to all of this so early. It breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. Like, you know, should we be surprised that there's so many sex addictions, pornography addictions, especially for our men? Our men are just really, it hurts my heart. It hurts my heart. I mean, obviously women watch pornography too, but men in particular, wow, like if you can control their sexuality, like you have them on lockdown. Like they are enslaved. And, you know, I'm not telling men that they need to be victims to all of this. I sure hope that a lot of men listening, you know, can kind of break out of this. If this is something that you're struggling with, just know you totally have personal responsibility and agency to be able to break free of this. There's literally no shame. This is unfortunately so common nowadays. And so just get support. Just get support. Okay. And, you know, this is something where our men are just, their life force energy is being sucked out of them. And they're really, you know, because of this, just really disempowered. I mean, they're distracted. They're, you know, wasting away all their life force energy. They are really being robbed of what true intimacy is, which is like what all of our souls really long for, is deep, deep, real, authentic connection with other humans. And so, you know, with all of these addictions, it's like, it's not it, you know, this is the opposite. It's very, very superficial, quick hits that keep you addicted. And it's literally like the opposite actually of what our souls really yearn for. And I'm really going to just say, I really don't think it's just women that have this deeper soul urge to have these authentic connections. Men do as well. And so it's just so, so sad. And so, you know, in addition to all of this, you know, it's this trend of like promiscuity and just hookup culture and just like casual sex. And it's so funny because it's like, I believe through and through that sexuality is profound and sacred and special and should be revered in a way that it's just not being right now. It's almost the opposite, right? Where it's just like being treated as this just, it's just like it's junk food versus gourmet in terms of like what sexuality can really be. And it's so sad, you know, like sexuality can be, it can really drag you down into the lower realms, but we're stepping into this new era just as we are with relationships in general from this higher perspective of relationships becoming more spiritual, more profound, really being able to use relationships as a catalyst for huge spiritual growth and development. The same is true for sexuality. Of course, those two things are tied together. And sexuality now, we have this opportunity to really start to elevate it and pull it up into the higher realms. I mean, even if you just think about like your second chakra, the sacral chakra, right? It's considered one of the lower chakras, but when you just simply have a connection between your sexual center and your heart center, and that flow is open and they're connected, sexuality and deep, deep love in a container of committed monogamous relationships is profound. And right now, even just that is being eroded, along with, you know, just basic relationship skills, social skills, just relationships in general, you know, human connection in general, all of this stuff is unfortunately kind of falling apart right now. So many different reasons why. But even if you can just really, you know, make this commitment to yourself that your sexual energy is not going to be exchanged with another person unless there is love present, ideally in a committed monogamous relationship. But, you know, if that's not possible, like just at least making sure that there is love and care present. And this is not something where you're just staying on the physical level of, you know, sexual pleasure alone, completely disconnected from the person that you're with. Like it's really, really not good. And so, you know, so many of the teachings out there in a spiritual perspective that talk about how we can work with sexuality and really bring it up into this elevated kind of new elevated form, which is profoundly healing. First of all, like I've really experienced this and there's nothing else like it. It is so healing when you have not just a physical connection with someone, but a deep emotional, you know, mental, intellectual, and spiritual connection with someone. It is profoundly healing. I have been able to heal deep sexual trauma in the context of this type of a partnership where this type of intimacy is available. It is profound. It's profound. And, you know, so many people are missing out on this. And so I would really like to just see sexuality across the board be elevated into this beautiful, profound exchange. Not that sexuality always has to be, you know, just so deep and serious and all this, but oh my goodness, like when it can move in this direction, it's profound. So I know that I mentioned this a couple times in the intro, but if you read the Substack article called Sexual Sovereignty, it goes super, super deep. This is just more of like a conversational, more casual way of starting to talk about this work publicly, but that article goes super deep and it also helps you to start to unpack some of this. And so there's different exercises and self-work that you can do around that. And then also please reach out if you want deeper support too, especially if you have any sexual trauma or different things that you're really struggling with sexually. So get professional support around that for sure. You know, I think the last thing that I'll say here is I want to talk to just women in particular, especially women who have sexual trauma. I know men have sexual trauma too, but like this is something that is really being, it's really hijacking women is, you know, the sexual it's called sometimes the sexual misery program. If you Google that, you can kind of go a little bit down a rabbit hole. But, you know, trauma is something that's used to also control people. And so, unfortunately, when there's widespread trauma and with sexuality in particular, very, very, very damaging, very damaging. And most people are not doing the healing work necessary to recover from that. And so when you have a history of sexual trauma, it can play out in a couple of different ways. This is sort of overgeneralized. Everybody's unique, but I see it kind of playing out either where women just completely kind of shut down and become numb sexually. This can also look like women, you know, completely turning away from men or being avoidant with men in particular when the sexual trauma occurred, you know, by a man. And so that's also very common. It can really, you know, distort even people's sexual orientations in that regard. And so there's a couple of people that I'm working with right now who are so brave and so courageous. And so they actually came to me wanting to unpack some of their trauma around, in their history, having trauma, you know, at the hands of men that was very painful. And so they see a connection between that and then them choosing to be in same-sex relationships because they were safer and they were all of that. And I'm not saying that there's some people who aren't, you know, obviously some people are just born that way. We have to really just honor that. And that's just how it is, right? For some people, and that's all good. But then some of these, it's the nature versus nurture debate too within sexuality. It's like, we also really have to get real with the fact that our sexuality is, you know, malleable and is influenced by these external factors after we're born, the stuff in our environment. And so it's a little of both. And so it's individual for everybody. But yeah, I mean, some of these women coming to me, they're like, they have this internal knowing now, you know, that because they haven't really unpacked that trauma yet, they can see that it's really, it has distorted their relationship with men. And they're ready to really look at this and heal this. And it's really beautiful to just get curious about, like, you know, what is really my authentic sexuality? If I peel back the layers of any trauma, if I really start to peel back the layers of any conditioning and programming and beliefs and things that were taught to me, whether directly or indirectly, just by way of like being in society with all of this stuff that is being kind of blared at us from media in all directions. It's like, what is mine? Like, what is really truly mine? You know, like this for me is like, I'm like all about this. Like, I want to get to the truth of who I really am. I want to decondition myself and just get to the truth, you know? And so that's what I'm passionate about and also passionate about helping people with. And so like that's kind of one scenario that happens with women and sexual trauma. But then the other one that can happen too, and I struggled with this in my own life, is that when you have a history of, you know, especially kind of the earlier childhood sexual trauma, it can lead to hypersexuality, and it can lead to sort of like in a way that's not age appropriate, becoming hypersexualized very, very early. And so, you know, I also see this a lot too with women that have a history of sexual trauma, that they then become very promiscuous. And so, you know, this is also something to keep our eye on, like, where did this come from? Start to really look at why some of these things might have happened. Are you getting your self-worth from this? Were you taught early on this was something desirable? Is this something where, you know, you got a certain level of attention or love and care from the person who was the abuser or whoever that person was? And in a way, was that sort of, did it feel beneficial to you on some really kind of messed up level, right? Like, this is the story of my life and what I've had to unpack too from that early childhood stuff. And then when that, you know, especially if this is coming from a parent or a caretaker, when that kind of when the energy of like the parent is supposed to love and care for you. And there's the child, of course, any child has a desire for their parent to show them that love and that care and that affection. And so when it's mixed in with some of this darker energy that's predatory, it's like some of that gets mixed up together. And then the person, the woman later in life might, you know, continually attract people that might have some of these predatory energies, that might be carrying some of this darker sexual energy. And, you know, she also, like, I feel like energetically, there's also kind of just some like implanting that happens as well to her, to kind of make her hypersexual and to make her a little bit looser with her boundaries, and all of this stuff kind of happens. It's really sad. It's really sad. And so, you know, these are just things to kind of start to consider internally. If you've never really done a lot of the deep dive into your own sexuality. And so like what I see too playing out on the collective is like this celebration of shadowy stuff, sexually. And like, it's not that we don't, you know, that we're sort of, shaming ourselves profusely for having shadowy sexual desires. It's not that, but like, have you actually unpacked it to look and see where it came from? Have you actually integrated and healed this part of you? There's this collective, all of this stuff is like coming up and being very normalized. And with like all of the, you know, the one thing that women really have to get honest with, I speak about this with a lot of women, but you know, I do not believe through and through that the dominator and submissive pattern between men and women, that's not the natural order of how intimacy should be between men and women, or relationships in general. This is my belief system. That's a power over dynamic. And that's really keeping everybody stuck in the drama triangle of victim, perpetrator, rescuer. And whether you consciously, you know, think that you're kind of stuck in that or not, most people are. And so this is really just like a manifestation of how this shows up in relationships. And then you have people out there who are teaching people that this is just natural, and it's really not. You know, if you look at my article on alchemy and divine union on Substack, I talk about this directly. And I also talk about it in the sexual sovereignty article. So the true divine forms of, you know, the divine masculine is not a power over dynamic. That is not the divine masculine. So I think there's just a lot of confusion. And then there's just a celebration, right? Like a celebration of a lot of kink and BDSM. And it's like, no, like there is a certain amount of taking ownership for this. And, you know, the more sexual energy that you direct at some of these things, the more power it gives them. And then it can be harder and harder to break, both on a personal level and then also collectively. And so sexual energy is the most potent and powerful energy that there is. And so, you know, I'm not even touching on some of the higher levels of energetics and spiritual stuff and sort of occult forces and all of that. I'm not going to get into that now. But, you know, it's pretty commonly known in those circles that sexual energy is potent. And so it's hijacked for a reason, so that it can actually be, yeah, it's sort of like that predatory energy of like feeding off of it. So let's just think, if I want to wrap up, it's just, you know, this is all really, really good work. You know, even if you don't buy into some of the bigger agenda or stuff happening, it's still really, really worthwhile to do this inner work, to peel back the layers of not just the false self, but the false sexuality as well. Those two things are obviously, false sexuality is like embedded in the false self. It's almost like a sexual persona that's not really truly you, to get to the core of what's really yours. And again, to just come back to pornography for a minute. Pornography is really programming, especially men's brains, to have sexual preferences that are not their own. A lot of them are dark. A lot of them are very just completely devoid of, obviously pornography is a lot of it is just devoid of real human intimacy and connection, authentic relationships, right? Like it's completely devoid of any of that. And I mean, people know, like after you watch pornography, like it's, you get a certain feeling that it's not good. It's, and you know, like when, even though we don't want to stay stuck in shame, you know, there is such a thing as healthy shame. And I love John Bradshaw's book called Healing the Shame That Binds You. That's a really important book for pretty much everyone to read because it differentiates between healthy shame that can actually help to build a conscience inside of us and toxic shame, which is, you know, stuff that we are shamed for that, yeah, is really damaging for us. But, you know, there is something where like, yeah, like it's okay sometimes to feel ashamed, right? It's okay to feel ashamed if it's coming from a place where that's actually like kind of a good impulse to shape you and shape your conscience. And I would say that after watching pornography, if you have shame come up, that's like kind of an indicator that, yeah, like this is just something that it's not a good thing, right? And so that's an example of healthy shame, but then people in general are demonizing shame across the board without being able to differentiate between healthy shame and toxic shame. So that's another thing I really want people to start to think about. And yeah, I think the last thing that I'll say is, you know, I'm here if you really feel like you have to unpack a lot of sexual trauma or programming or just different things that you want to talk about, just book a free call with me. We can just get to know each other face to face. I also work with people, a lot of my clients on sexuality and just, you know, really moving towards a really healthy, happy sexuality that we all just get to experience, right? It is our birthright, but it's also your birthright to be able to do some of this work to just kind of like clean stuff out that's not even really yours to begin with, just to get to the truth of who you are. And, you know, I really am going to be talking more about sexuality in 2024 and just moving towards just an elevated version of it. And so this is kind of the first step, is to do a little bit of the shadow work on what's going on. So, okay. So I think that's enough for today, but as always, if you have any questions, you can reach out and I'll talk to y'all soon. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps these episodes and this podcast get out to more people. I really appreciate it. And I also just have to give a big thank you to everybody who has been sharing the podcast with their friends and their family. I don't take that lightly, so thank you so much. And if you're somebody who could use support with relationships, please reach out. I work with women, men, and couples, and I also teach breathwork groups and lead women circles. And so you can message me on Instagram or you can email me. And everyone who's interested in the work I do should just book a free 30-minute consultation call. And I'll post all of the information on how to get in touch with me in the show notes. Thank you so much. I'll talk to you soon.